Rewiring Your Life with Erica Spiegelman and Marcia Stone. Wellness, inspiration, support.
Welcome to Rewiring Your Life. My name is Erica Spiegelman, and my co-host Marcia Stone will not be with us today, but she can listen to our interview with our amazing guest. First, I just wanted to tell the audience that we are here to provide always wellness tips, inspiration, and support. We have on Katie Beecher, who is a licensed professional counselor and medical and emotional intuitive with over 30 years of experience. She has a unique way of working with clients, creating a detailed, extremely accurate 4-page physical, emotional, and spiritual report and symbolic painting before ever seeing the clients she's working with. She sees a photograph and then uses their names and their age. Katie's practice is international. She has a book that is out called Heal From Within, a guidebook to intuitive wellness. She's an energy healer, and she does so many other things. She writes for Kourtney Kardashian's Poosh and Miranda Kerr's blog, Cora Organics. She's also training in art therapy and knows so much about psychology and PTSD and educational and psychological testing and on and on and on. So let's welcome Katie to the show. Welcome, Katie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Yeah, there's so much that you have information on, that you've studied, that you put into practice, that you work with people every day. So there's a lot of things I'm sure you keep learning about as you keep, growing in your professional life, huh?
Absolutely. 30 years is a long time, but I never stop learning. And, I learn from my clients. I learn from people like you. Mm-hmm. It's great.
It's amazing. Yeah. So let's see right now. So let's talk about your book first, because I just want to hear how this came to be, the book Heal From Within, a guidebook to intuitive wellness. How did you get the inspiration to write that? And can you tell us a little bit about the background of the book?
Sure. So grew up in a pretty dysfunctional family, like so many others. And as a result of bullying because of going into puberty early and my dysfunctional family, I developed a pretty serious eating disorder. Mm-hmm. I was bulimic, throwing up 3 times a day, and I was suicidal because I didn't want to live that way anymore. But I believe it was divine intervention that inspired me to call our pediatrician. Like, I didn't even tell my parents because they wouldn't have been supportive. So I called him, let him know what was going on, and he referred me to a Jungian therapist, Carl Jung, for people who weren't familiar with him. He's pretty amazing. And worked really hard, paid for it myself, drove myself. No one else was involved. But she, among other things, she taught me how to connect to my intuition and find self-love and how to accept and become comfortable with my psychic and intuitive abilities, because before that they had scared me. And that was one of the whole thing was one of the best things that had ever happened to me. And still to this day was, because it helped me to separate from my family, find out who I was aside from recovering from bulimia. But I knew from that I needed to use what I had learned to help other people. And my guides, and I use my guides and intuition interchangeably, but they told me that I would be writing a book and speaking in front of people and doing all this cool stuff. So, yeah, so I was 16, so 40 years later, finally write the book.
That's amazing.
But it's a combination of things. Yeah. It's some of my backstory. Because I've recovered from Lyme and stuff too. Uh-huh. And then teaching people how to connect to their intuition and find self-love. And then also with information from my guides and my experience, showing them how they could do a medical intuitive reading, medical and spiritual intuitive reading on themselves, using some of my techniques that I've created to help identify their issues and their strengths to help them get to the root causes of what's going on and to do problem solving in terms of addressing the issues.
Wow, amazing. That's so amazing. And how old were you when you first started to, communicate or at least receive messages? Do you remember from your guides or?
I remember, I mean, I've done it my whole life. I can't remember not doing it, but I distinctly remember being 3 years old and looking up at my parents and hearing this voice in my head saying, these people cannot take care of you. They're not equipped. And you have to do it yourself.
Wow.
So, you know, that was part of it. I mean, I could always pick up things and, but it was really scary because when you're a kid, you don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the energy was really negative. So, and I didn't have anyone I could talk to about it. You know, it wasn't kind of the cool thing it is now at all.
Yeah.
And there was no internet. There was no, you know,
right.
People who are doing this today, I think, have a really nice advantage.
Yeah. I mean, it's still, you know, it's, I guess, hit or miss on who you're talking to about this kind of
totally
quality of stuff. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, most of the time when I tell people that I have, you know, I've seen a medium or I've talked to an intuitive or I've you know, something along these lines, you know, there's skepticism, but then there's also, I think, deep down, everyone wants to believe that it's true and there's hope in that. And, you know, right? Because I think you think we all, and I guess this goes back to our intuition, maybe, that we all feel intuitively that there's so much more than what we can see, hear, and feel, and that we have some intuition around that. But yet, the way our culture is and the way we're raised and, you know, all these distractions, that inner voice becomes so, you know, just quieted to a point where we don't even, we don't believe it. We don't look into it. And I think that is, you know, kind of a shame in terms of where, what I see in people from time to time. Do you see that too?
I totally agree with you. Totally agree. And I try to make the whole concept of intuition and even mediumship and stuff as non-woo-woo as I can. Because
yeah.
I really believe that we all have intuition and that we are all connected and that it's not weird. It's very natural. So and you know, I think we're all born with it. And then we're taught by people who aren't comfortable with themselves or their intuition that it's not okay or that we can't trust it. And then when you push down your intuition, you push down your feelings, you push down your authentic self. You don't even know how to love yourself because you don't know who you are. And then that's where a lot of illness comes from, you know, because you don't treat yourself well, or you allow yourself to be in relationships with people who don't treat you well. And then all those feelings get buried and go into the body and, you know, et cetera.
Right.
You know all that.
Yeah, yeah. No, but I think it's amazing that you've, you know, used your gift to then, you know, I guess empower other people to find that they can use their intuition, that we all have feelings about other people or energy we feel, or, you know, we'll walk by somebody and feel like something's not right, or, you know, and that is intuition. But again,
exactly.
Right. But again, if you ignore that, or you, you know, your thoughts override it, or you tell yourself something that's, you know, not true, you convince yourself it's not, then again, like we were just saying, it gets, you know, we don't use it as much, and it gets, you know, weaker and weaker versus stronger and stronger.
Definitely. And you know, no matter what people come to me for, and it's such a huge variety of things. Some people are sick, some people aren't. They just want to learn more about themselves or their career or whatever. But a part of every session is teaching people how to connect to intuition. I have not found a situation where it's not been beneficial.
Right, right. Of course. So for people that are just wondering, like, if you're talking to me now and, you know, do you get information about the person you're always with or that you're talking to, for instance, or is it something that you kind of have to stop and focus on?
Well, if I left my channels, if you were open all the time, I'd be pretty exhausted. So I've learned, part of it's from being a therapist, that I really need to turn it on and off. And that's why I think I've devised.
So you can do that is, I guess, my question.
Yeah. And when I started reading, I don't even have a picture. I just have a name and age. And I have this template that I've created with all of the chakras, and it's physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever. And then I kind of ask my guides to just download the information. And I fill out my big long thing and I do my symbolic painting. And then I send all that to the client before we meet. But then while we're going over the report and they're asking questions, that's when I get a lot more information from my guides as well. So I've learned I kind of have to keep it. You know, I do, of course, we all get feelings about people, you know, immediate impressions or whatever, like I immediately liked you. And, you know, but in terms of getting in-depth stuff, yeah, I've learned that can be a lot. So.
Yeah, I bet. No, I bet. I always wonder just because of that, you know, just because you now in our culture, again, we see TV shows about people that are, you know, intuitive or, you know, it kind of just in movies like Ghost and, you know, there's all these like, you know,
right.
Forms of art in which this has been displayed. And, you know, there's a lot of questions I think people have around it of how it actually works for people, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, it is something that is always with me for sure. And if there's, you know, a person who doesn't feel safe or who feels really negative or even somebody who's super positive, like, of course, those things come to me. And it really is a very delicate switch that I can turn it on and off because I've done this for so mm-hmm. long. So, you know, I can certainly get stuff fairly quickly, but I really like being able to sit with my guides beforehand and kind of get like uninterrupted information.
Right. Of course. Right. So you can actually present. Yeah. And tune in. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Cause it's really like, as a human, the information I get, I have to be really careful not to interpret it. Like, that's why I kind of like the intuitive painting part of what I do, cause it's all symbolic. But, a really quick example, I was working with a 12-year-old girl, and my guide said teeth enamel, and my humanness would have interpreted that as, oh wow, this person must have a lot of cavities, right?
Right.
So I know enough now to just write what I get. And I talked to her mom, and her mom said, oh, it's really weird that you got teeth enamel because she has extraordinarily strong teeth enamel and has never had a cavity. So the information was accurate. If I had put down, you know,
something's wrong
problems with her
mm-hmm.
teeth, that would have been wrong. So you have to kind of, when you're doing this work, you have to be open to what you get and also be willing to make mistakes too.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the people I work with, they're like, I'm afraid to trust my intuition because what if I'm wrong and what if I look stupid? And even people who want to go into this work, you know, it takes a lot of faith in yourself and a lot of practice.
Yeah.
And just getting familiar with how you get information.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just, you know, something that can help people so much. It just in terms of, like, you know, looking into themselves. And it's not like, you know, no one out here should be scared or fearful of this. This is not, you know, I think that's another thing is just, you know, you're interpreting it to help people and to guide people towards a healthier path and giving information that will just only create more awareness and that kind of stuff. Not something where there's going to be, you know, doom and gloom on the other side, right? I think that's something too.
Oh, God,
too.
No. Yeah. It's pure love.
Right, you know, pure love.
And people will always often ask, what's the difference between fear and intuition?
Yeah.
And it's a great question. And I think, in my experience, fear is something that makes you feel more uneasy. But your intuition, even if it's information that maybe you don't necessarily want to hear, or it's a warning, it ultimately makes you feel more relaxed and more settled.
Right. Absolutely. Because in that of itself, like, gives you information so then you can move on to the next step, which I think, you know, people want to feel like there's action and direction in their lives, even if, you know, it's not what they think they want. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, it's scary to listen to your intuition.
Yeah, I was going to say, so Katie, I was just going to ask if you know, can you share one tip or one thing that you discuss in your book, how people can open themselves up more or like quiet themselves or how, what is something you can tell our audience to try if somebody wants to tap into that more?
Sure. My very favorite technique, and this is something I learned in Jungian counseling, I can't take credit for it, but I can tell you that it saved my life, and it's the reason why I'm recovered from bulimia, and I still do this to this day. So I think about intuition as this all-knowing force that's part of everyone. It's always there protecting you and keeping you safe, you know, as well as guiding you. It's a source of unconditional love and unconditional acceptance. And I kind of compare it to like your pet, because, you know, your dog doesn't really care what you look like or what you weigh or what you did at work that day or et cetera. They just like you the way you are. So it's a little bit different concept of intuition, but the technique is to physically write out a question or your feelings and direct it to your intuition. So dear intuition, I'll give you some examples, and this is all in my book, like detailed. And so then you write that out, and then you just wait for whatever you hear or see or feel in response to what you wrote and write that down, and then write back to it. Whatever you get, write that down. So you're having a written conversation with your intuition. And doing that in writing it's really powerful for a few reasons. One thing is that you have to stop what you're doing to write. And oftentimes we're overthinking about whatever stuff, and it really gets in the way. So it makes you stop. Writing makes you really focus in on what you're hearing and what you're feeling and what you're receiving. And then your body is also involved because you're writing, and we get so many intuitive signals from our bodies. Like, you can use this for writing to your symptoms. You can use it for writing to loved ones who have passed. There's so many things that you can do with this, but it's very intense, and you don't have to do it for a long time. You know, sometimes I'll do it for 5 minutes and sometimes 20. And so some examples are, sometimes I will say, do you have anything to tell me today? You know, so keeping it real broad. Sometimes I'll ask a question, and it could be about, you know, a career opportunity or a supplement or a diet thing, or like literally anything. You can ask any question you want. Sometimes I will just start writing, because you know how there's things on your mind, you're not really sure what they are, and just talking to a friend or a therapist helps you clarify. And I use my intuition for this too. I'll just start writing and ask if it has any feedback for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that's amazing. I think that that's such a wonderful way to kind of tap into your intuition, but also like your awareness, just like slowing down. I think that's another issue from what I've felt in my life, and what I see with a lot of my clients, is they're just going, work, family, this, that, you know. This is why solitude's a chapter in my book Rewired, but it's like, there's not enough, I think, solitude. And at least for me, even though I have a busy life, when you said, tell me what you want to tell me today, I said it to myself, and I got, slow down and take care of yourself today, because I haven't been feeling great. And then I also, when you said, what's a specific question, I thought to myself, how will my new program I just created, how will that program go? And I'll say, it'll go good. You just have to be patient, take your time. So it's funny, it comes to me right away, but I don't know if that's per se my intuition or just what I tell myself, or they're one in the same, you know, or I know.
Okay.
You know?
That's a fantastic point you just brought up.
Yeah.
People will say, I have trouble, I don't know, blah, blah. And I said, okay, so these are the things that can interfere with listening. And one of them is, people are like, how do I know if it's my intuition, or if it's just what I want to hear, or if it's coming from myself, or
right.
Like, how do I know that this is real? And what I say is, just be open to whatever you get. It doesn't matter
where
it comes from, as long as it's good information. And, you know, it's not a contest. You don't have to like put your results up on a board and other people are going to look at it.
Yeah.
It's just something that you utilize, and you don't have to be an intuitive or a medium or whatever to listen to yourself or spirit.
Yeah.
Or like,
it's a truth too. I feel like it's a truth, you know, I feel,
right?
Yeah. So, I mean, even with 2 seconds, I mean, writing, I always felt as I tell my clients, and I encourage it, and all the books that I've done, you know, discussed in every program, I'm always said, you know, take a journal, write. And I don't do it enough as I used to. And I know how powerful it it has been in my life.
I know.
You know, so, but I do think, you know, creating, you know, pathways in your brain, and like writing for a couple, you know, for me, like years on end, and different, right, different ways of writing. And, you know, it becomes to a point where now maybe when you ask a question, I can, you know, mentally go there, emotionally go there in a different way now, because I think you just, you know,
right,
activate that muscle in a sense, which is really cool for people. Because let's say like in a split second, you're traveling or you're doing something, you don't have access to a pen or paper in that very moment. Maybe that's when you can, you know, trust that intuition because you've practiced, you know?
Yeah. And the more you do it, like one thing I love about writing too, is that it helped me to, it did a few things. It helped me to listen to what that intuitive voice sounded like and felt like.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I wasn't able to write and I heard it, I was like, oh, I recognize you. I can trust
right,
you. This
yeah.
is good. You know,
right.
The more you do it, you know, the easier it is. And sometimes I literally will take a Starbucks napkin and write, you know, in my car.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's good. No, that's a great idea.
You know,
it's a great tip.
If I'm kind of not, yeah, I mean, or just keep a little notebook in your car,
yeah,
or wherever you are. Oh, I know what I was going to say. So when I learned it, one of the most valuable things was that I felt like even if I was by myself, I wasn't alone anymore.
Uh-huh.
And I always had this loving force with me.
That's so nice.
So that instead of thinking so much about what others thought of me,
mm-hmm,
or what others were doing or blah, blah, blah.
Right, right.
The most important thing was that I had the love of this amazing force. So what other people thought wasn't as big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started doing this, I didn't even know what self-love was.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't like anything about myself. I was in such a bad state. And Carl Jung describes intuition as God within. So God as, you know, our source. And I thought, okay, so this source made me, it must at least love me and it must think I'm okay the way I am. So I wasn't able to find self-love, but I decided to let this love me.
Right.
And then that was the start of me being able to love myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Beautiful. Yeah. I really feel that. I mean, I think, Katie, too, within the recovery community, you know, and I work with addiction and recovery professionally, and I
right.
have clients, I think this is very parallel to a higher power of some kind. And I think when people recover in a sense, it's knowing that there's more than just them and there's something they could tap into that is always there for them. And I think that has really helped millions of people, you know, recover from addiction.
Yeah, I thought of it as like the parent I never had, or
right.
this
mm-hmm.
best friend bodyguard that was always with me, and there's some people who,
it's a good way to visualize
really
it.
Yeah. There's some people who really cannot grasp this. So when I've worked with people, I said, is there anybody who you did feel loved you, you know, unconditionally, or loves you unconditionally, whatever. And so I've helped people connect to like their grandmother who has passed, or some other figure that they feel like is this loving, accepting energy, that, you know, they did feel that sense of love and acceptance from.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then eventually, you know, I also have found that self-love is a foundational tool to live a healthy life.
Oh God.
Yeah. So, well, you know, and it's very hard for people that are coming from eating disorders or addiction, or, you know, and whether there's a lot of self-betrayal and there's a lot of shame and there's a lot of guilt around certain things. So again, when we emerge, I think, from this darker place and we are now stepping into the light, you know, self-love may not come naturally and it may not come right away, but I truly believe that, you know, when we start to change our thought habits and do esteemable acts and, you know, have positive self-regard and make a promise not to betray yourself anymore and to practice self-care mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually, all these, you know, all, if we can, you know, create a practice around that, then self-love will come, especially changing your language. But again, I think, you know, if anybody is struggling with their intuition, would it be good for them to kind of, again, try and build that self-love first? Or what is your suggestion on that?
well.
Or comments on that. Yeah.
No, I mean, people, I don't know about you, but I encounter a lot of people who have kind of an all or nothing mentality. And believe me, I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
So they think that they have to make a change overnight, or that if they're not doing it enough, it's not good enough, or,
right. mm-hmm.
and they don't look at things as a process.
Right.
So I think even before self-love needs to come some self-acceptance of, I don't, you know, I'm okay. I'm not perfect. I can, there's things I need to change or improve on. And then there's things that I'm really great at. And I have all these strengths, but acceptance, I think, can be more neutral. And then that can lead to self-love because, and also people think like, if I love myself, I'm conceited. Well, no,
yeah,
not at all, as you know.
Yeah.
But you know, just kind of starting to accept, or even before that, getting to know yourself. So authenticity, and people are like, I have no idea who I am. And I'm like, well, what's your favorite color? What movie do you like? You know, are you a parent? What do you like to do? You know, what do you hate? All of those little things make up who you are. So they just think, I have one purpose, or I have one whatever. And authenticity is like everything about you.
Well, authenticity is my word for many years, my North Star. So yes, of course.
Right?
It's a value of mine that is on the very top of the list. So yeah, and I think just, you know, I love that self-acceptance. I think that that's really beautiful and nice and good, a good word for people to hold in the front of their mind. I always believe in like keeping these words, you know, picking a word, keeping it at the front of your mind and just in focusing
right.
on that too. I think that's really powerful. I mean, there's so much to talk about it. As you were talking too, I was thinking about manifesting as well. It's like when you practice all these things, we can manifest as well. And then I just got this, you know, memory of when I was a little girl, I know I had intuition. I knew about death before anyone mm-hmm. even taught me about it. I knew
right.
someone told me I was special once, you know, and I knew it. No one, my parents didn't say it, you know, but there was this knowing about certain things I had. And I was, as you were talking, I was just remembering all this, and I felt like it got deadened, you know, well, my parents divorced and, you know, things went on in life. So again, it gets lost. But I do remember very clearly as a child, it being much more clear, certain things. So
I think there's,
does that happen
less,
with kids? I'm just curious. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Because there's less crap to filter through. And, you know, when you start going to school, I remember being little and saying something nice about myself and all these other girls being like, oh, you're conceited. And well, that shut me up real fast.
Right.
I didn't want to hear that.
Someone told me I was special. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but I can honestly say the hardest thing about recovery wasn't stopping the behavior. It was learning to love and accept myself. And that's really sad because like we're born with it. But it shows how powerful it is. And when I was recovering, my guide said to me, I'll never forget this. They're like, with intuition, self-love, and self-acceptance, you can heal from anything.
Hmm.
And, you know, 99% of the time, I really do believe that.
Yeah.
Because with intuition, like, you're listening to what you need to do to heal. You're listening to how to take care of yourself. There's so much to it.
Right.
You know, not just, like, words in your head. It reflects on everything else. So, and then the better you treat yourself, the less likely you are to get into addiction or be in a relationship with someone who treats you badly, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So it really all does connect.
It does. Oh, absolutely. I think when you honor yourself, you treat yourself kindly, you have standards, you have values, right? And that's very hard when you're in active addiction. You know, I tell my clients this too.
Mm-hmm.
You could still love yourself. Like there's always hope. There's always hope. But I think it's so hard for people,
right.
After years of trauma or addiction or self-betrayal, for them to kind of, you know, see that they're worthy of health and love and self-acceptance, that they're worthy of it. So again, that self-worth is something that has to be addressed too. And there's so many layers, right? But again, this is
It's huge.
Yeah. But this is a great way to start.
I remember my it is. I remember my therapist told me one day, you know, you're being really narcissistic. And it was like a dagger went through my heart because this is the person I trusted and talked to and felt comfortable with. And I'm like, what? And that was the last thing I wanted to be because I grew up in a family of them.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, hang on. She says, you told me the story of Narcissus who died because he couldn't stop looking at his reflection in the mirror.
Yeah.
And she said, you are not a narcissistic person, but by virtue of the fact that you have an eating disorder and depression, those thoughts make you think and act narcissistically because all you're thinking about is what you're eating, what you weigh, what people think of you, how much water you're drinking, are people watching you eat, or, you know, it's all right. about you.
Right.
And I was like, okay, so that is true. I can look at that objectively. And I can also say, well, if that's true about me and I can still love and accept myself, or it doesn't make me a piece of shit, basically.
Mm-hmm.
What else can I then look at objectively about myself so that I can change it?
That's a great gift too, to look at yourself objectively.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. I know someone once said to me, where was this? I think it was when I was writing Rewired or something, an interview. Somebody had asked me to think about flaws, some of my flaws. And I was like, this is such a strange question because, I was trying to practice self-love. But then I was like, but this is really good to know what your flaws are. And also, like, where there's, let's say one of my, personality traits is being empathetic, right? Because this is what I do and I have empathy. That also can be on the other end used to a disadvantage. If you're too empathetic, people could take advantage of you, walk all over you, could be too passive, right? So again, I think with everything, there's a way to objectively look at you know, what if we want to label it flaws or your strengths or your, you know, whatever
it is. Right. Just
So I think that's
things that aren't necessarily serving you.
Right. Exactly. I love that. I love the objective looking. No, I think that's a great practice to have too, and see it as not something wrong. You know, there's something always to work on.
Yeah. Because we do make mistakes, and that's okay.
Yeah. No, of course. Of course. I just wanted to thank you because we're running out of time, but everybody that's listening, you know, please check out Katie Beecher at www.katiebeecher, BEECHER.com. Katie, where else can our audience find you if they want to follow you, read your articles, find your book, tell everybody?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. It's Katie Beecher Medical Intuitive. There's some fakes going around, which is super fun.
Oh, no.
But Katie Beecher Medical Intuitive. It's the one with 18,600 followers, not whatever else is out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd love to have you on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. To get my book is on pre-order right now. I'm not sure when this is coming out. So it's being published February 15th.
I see that now on the date. Yeah. Okay. Fabulous.
Right, right.
Oh my gosh. So excited.
So you can get, the link is on I'm so excited. The link is on my website, but anywhere, literally like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, like everywhere it's out there, you can get it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So
I can't wait. Well, I'm going to be putting it up on my social media and having everybody go check it out too.
Oh, yeah.
You
could
just give me the exact date.
I appreciate
it. Oh, of course. Of course. Anything to support you. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here. I just wanted to ask one more question. We do a deep dive question with our guests, and it's just quickly, what is your superpower?
I have to say my intuitive ability.
This one was an obvious.
Other than that, right. And pole dancing.
Pole dancing.
My sanity and my addictions.
Is it? Do you pole dance really?
I do.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's like the best thing I've ever done for myself.
Oh my gosh. That's fabulous.
It's pretty addictive.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really strong. So it's very cool.
That is so cool. Okay. We're going to have to talk more off air about everything.
Great stress relief.
Yeah. No, I bet. No, that's great. As I was just thinking of this, our deep dive question, I was like, oh, she's obviously gonna, we know what her superpower is, but I'm happy you told us the second one. That's great. Well, thank you, Katie, for being with us today. And
my pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you everyone in the audience for listening, and until next time, be well.